Hmm, I've never seen anything like that before.
And with any luck, I'll never see anything like it again.
No! Oh.
Play it again.
Oh, right.
Amen. Welcome this morning to the Bridge. That song that was being sung by the infamous theologian Beaker was called Ode to Joy. This morning we're going to spend some time together and we're going to take a look at joy. I don't know if you're like me, but I can relate to Beaker. Have you ever noticed that whenever joy is sought after through the me approach, it always ends up pretty much like that. Can you relate? I'm here to tell you that God's word has made it clear that there is joy abundant. Joy is a part of God's plan for our lives. Joy is a part of his call on our lives. But you will not find it going down the road of me. We're in week number 6 of a series that we've entitled Prayer. And I promise you now that we've crossed into December that we're going to continue with and finish up our series on prayer. And we're going to do it all for the next 3 weeks under the umbrella of joy. We're going to take a look at joy in God's word, where it's called for, where it fits, how it is to be a part of our lives, and how it plays a role in prayer. Now, we're going to look at it under the theme, if you will, a second theme. We're looking at the topic of prayer now for the next 3 weeks under the theme of joy. And we're even going to use joy as an acronym for the next 3 weeks, J-O-Y. This morning, we're going to take a look at the J of joy in the context of prayer. And J stands for Jesus. Joy in Jesus. In Jesus' name. How many of you have prayed prayers where you have ended the prayer with an in Jesus' name, amen? If you've been there, would you let me see your hand? Have you prayed in Jesus' name? Now let me ask you this. Have you ever been shown in God's word why you pray in Jesus' name? If you have, let me see how many hands go up. Do you notice the difference? I ask you that because for me, for a long time, in Jesus' name was little more than a caboose that I would put on the end of my prayer train. It was the thing that all the church people said, and I know it's involving Jesus, so it's got to be okay. But I never really fully understood. Well, I want you to see this morning that the J of joy is both to be joyous, but also to carry Jesus in and through our prayers. And I want you to understand why that is. So today's message I've entitled, Praying Joyously in Jesus' Name. Now we're going to do much like we did last week, and I'm going to walk you through an awful lot of scripture. So I encourage you to come with me and or at least get out your pen and paper and take notes, because you will get a very good comprehensive understanding of what the Bible says about joy. And I think you're going to be surprised with some of the things that you see. Once again, most of us have walked through a life where we've been around church or we've had church poured on us. Not too many people have actually been walked through God's word and seen what the Bible actually says. And as you've seen, if you've been coming to the Bridge for any length of time, there are an awful lot of misnomers that God's word addresses directly. I hope and I pray that you're going to see this is true with one of these now when we take a look at joy in prayer. Let me give you our passage for today. The verse that will serve as the foundation for this message is John chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus speaking, listen to what he says. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. So Jesus is saying, you may have prayed, you may have done a bunch of stuff, but up till now, believers, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive. So ask in my name, believers, and you will receive. And what a great conjunction. And your joy will be complete. Do you want to know how to have joy complete? Joy to the full? Of course you do. We're human. That's the pursuit of our heart, if you think about it. Be you a scholar of Christianity or Islam, whether you're the worst sinner that you know or you're the most pious Christian, we are all living our lives in pursuit of what we think will make us happy. Jesus says, and now I give to you this promise, that if you will ask in your prayers, you will receive and your joy will be made complete. I hope, I pray that I have your attention. I pray that your prayers are targeted at the goal of glorifying God. If you remember last week, we saw Jesus telling us through his word, through the Apostle John, that if you will obey my commands and do what pleases God, I will give you the desires of your heart. Here again, we now see it, that joy complete is a part of God's plan for your life. Now, this issue of in Jesus' name, let me just tell you, it's not as mystical as people make it out to be. It's very much what you would think it would mean. Let me take you down this analogy. Let's say you go to the bank. You go to the bank and you've written a check. And we'll use me as an example, okay? So I've written a check and I go to the bank. And I write $1 million on there and I go to cash it. Do you know what the bank is going to ask me? How much money do you have in this bank that you're writing a check for $1 million? And when I say, well, I don't have $1 million. So you're asking for $1 million in your name, and you don't have $1 million. Well, guess what, buddy? You're flat out of luck. Beat it. There's nothing here for you because you don't have anything on account. Now, let's switch it up. And let's say that I go and I take a check from you, that you've written a check and you've signed it for $1 million. And let's say you've got $10 million in the bank. I go to that bank and I've got this $1 million check that you have signed. You know what they're going to ask me? No longer has anything to do with me. They're going to say, does the person that signed the check for you have that much money in the bank? And when they look and they say, oh wow, they got tons. No problem. Here you go. Here's your $1 million. Well, so it is with the bank of heaven. R.A. Torrey says that when we go to heaven, when we go to God, when we lift our prayers and we do it thinking that God somehow owes us, that we have something on account in heaven, we lose sight of who we really are. That outside of Christ, we have nothing. He owes us nothing. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And unless I go and I go before the King with the promises, with the endorsement, with the authorization of the King himself, I have no right to draw anything out of that account. Jesus came, died on the cross to give you and me access to the account. And when we pray as children of God, those who have truly accepted him as Lord and Savior, when we lift our prayers in Jesus' name, there is power in that prayer, because we are going to the King with the power and the endorsement of the King. Amen. Not to do with any of our own merit. Now, what do you get with this? What do you get when you pray in Jesus' name? Let me tell you that according to John 20:31, you get life. In Jesus' name, there is life. Acts 2:38 tells us that we're to baptize in Jesus' name. Acts 4:18 tells us that there will be fear that will be generated in the enemies of God. Satan and his workers will fear when we come in the name of Jesus. The disciples were told they had better stop teaching in the name of Jesus because the enemy was afraid of what was happening. People's lives were being changed. We have authority in Jesus' name per Acts 16:8. We see the apostles telling a girl who is demon possessed, come out of her now in Jesus' name. There's power and authority. There's unity in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells us, in the name of Christ, do not have separation or division amongst you. Be unified as the body. There's thankfulness. We see Ephesians 5:20 saying, giving thanks for all things in Jesus' name. If you've had circumstances where you think, there's no way that I could have thanks in that storm, you can if you will pray in Jesus' name. Things that we think are impossible are more than possible. They're called for in Jesus' name. You'll find your purpose in Jesus' name. Colossians 3:17 says, do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll find a shrewdness. You see, we're told in 2 Thessalonians 3:6 that in the name of Jesus, stay away from unruly brothers. There are people that will pull you down. In Jesus' name, we're told, stay away. Believe and love in Jesus' name. 1 John 3:23, it's a command. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love others. My friends, this is what it's all about. There's power in Jesus' name. Acts 3:6 says, I do not have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. The crippled are empowered to rise up and walk in Jesus' name. It is not a caboose to put on the train of prayer. It's not a religious slang that we put out there because it sounds good. It pretties up my prayers. We have nothing. We are homeless with no money on account. And the King, whose treasure it all is, comes and says, if you'll accept me as Lord and Savior, I will give you access to write as many checks as you want. When you're writing checks in my name for my purpose, obeying my commands and doing what pleases me, I want you to spend it all. Go. Take this truth and love out to the people. Question that we have lots of times is, how do we balance all this? You say we're to have this joy. How do we balance it all? I showed you last week what happens when we disobey. It was rather uncomfortable for some. I know. I got the feedback. You say, when you tell somebody that they must have joy, when joy is a part of obedience, isn't that kind of like saying, hey, listen, the beatings are going to continue until morale improves? That's the way we think sometimes, but we miss the point. This is a matter of love. Christ is telling us, listen, I died that you would have joy. I came that you would have joy. Can you have an issue of discipline over not being joyful? Does that make sense? That you could actually be disciplined by God because you weren't joyful enough. I want you to understand that we're called to serve the Lord with joy no matter what. Deuteronomy 28:47 tells us this, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity, therefore in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord. He will send them against you, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Some people really struggle with this idea of being commanded to live and serve with joy. I want you to see a fellow named Michael Jr. He's brought this issue of obedience into light in a way that I think brings real joy into a very serious context. I want you to meet Michael Jr.
I'm reading Abraham, right? Abraham, there's a lot of blessings of Abraham. You got to read up on this, right? Because I wanted to know. So I'm reading. And I found out that his name used to be Abram. Right, and then one day, God changed his name to Abraham and told him to go home and circumcise his entire household, even the servants. And then it's, in verse 23, it says, and he went home that very same day and did it. I was like, man, that's obedience. Because I don't know if I could have been a servant. I mean, I'm just saying, I would have had a couple questions first. Wait a minute, wait. Abraham, is that how you say it now? Okay, wait. Put the flint rock down for a minute. Hold on. What exactly did God say? His words, please. Okay. Circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin. Okay. You sure he didn't say your skin?
All right. I'm intentionally wanting you to see that in the midst of God's commands, there is place for joy. You know, we ought to be the people who walk with the brightest smiles. I wore my shirt today from when we went through the Beatitudes. The big smiley face, Makarios, that we are blessed. That's God's word for blessed. Blessed means interior, personal, divine joy. That when we find our greatest satisfaction, our greatest joy in our relationship with Christ, we are truly blessed. And we should be able to have fun. The fact that these are truths and commands ought not take away from the reality that we are the King's children. There is no better place to be. There is no more joy. And yes, it does involve obedience. Listen to what God's word says in 1 John 1:4. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We're with Lord Jesus and Father God. We write this to make our joy complete. If we're children of God, when we share truth and love in and of itself, regardless of how it's received, we should be walking with the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. How do you get through? Praising God. How do we fight the doldrums? How do we fight despair? By remembering who we are and walking with the joy of the Lord, no matter what. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going to follow me out that door this afternoon. I have no idea. It's Kim's birthday, by the way, so we're going to do some stuff for her. But I don't know what's out there, and it may be a real storm. But I know this, no matter what, I have joy that nobody can take away from me. You see, I'm told in Galatians 5:22 that joy is one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. That when Christ took up residence in my heart and the Holy Spirit became my helper, I have joy that nobody can take away. I don't care what goes on. Listen to what he tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:2. Out of the most severe trial... Amen. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Get this. In their severe trial and in the midst of their utter poverty, their joy welled up. Overflowing joy. Matthew 25:21, and it's repeated again in 23. Jesus speaking, saying this, his master said to him, well done. Well done, good and faithful slave, doulos. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. You walked with faithful obedience. You did with a little. I'm going to give you a lot. And guess what? Now you come. Come into the bosom of your dad and rest in my joy. You think it's too hard for you to muster up some joy? Jesus says you come and you obey and you walk the talk. And then you can have my joy. You come rest in my joy if you're obedient. Obedient in terms of joy. Now here again, somebody says, well, that's pretty hard if you understand my life. You don't understand what it is to be me. It's tough to be me. My friend Michael thought of somebody else who was having a pretty tough go. I think you might be able to relate if you've been around some Christians that are making it tough to walk the talk because they won't cut you any slack. A lot of people come at me today with some frustration that I know, praise God, someday will come back as thanks. Because it's not easy to be us. I know that. But that doesn't matter. Somebody else had a hard time. See if you can relate.
I get a lot of material. I read the Bible a lot, and I was reading. You know, somebody got to back me up on this, so you're going to think I made it up for the sake of the joke. How many people know Jesus had a little brother? Right. Anybody know his name? What's his name? James. I was reading that. I was like, wow. How much pressure was that? Jesus, your big brother? How many times do you have to hear, why come you can't be more like Jesus, James? Because you know everybody probably thought that James could do the same thing Jesus could do. But he couldn't. He was just James. He wasn't James Christ. Remember the wedding banquet? Right? Jesus turned water into wine. Right? It was delicious. Everybody was amazed by it. Right, but this is a little side note. What you might not know is what they use, right? Where they got the water from was these things called water pots. And the water pots, they would set them at the door and people would dip their hands in them before they went inside. Now, they were out of wine, which means the place was full, which means the water was dirty. So he took some dirty water, made it clean and acceptable, and it was the best at the banquet, which is exactly what he does for us. But I'm thinking about James. What about the next banquet? Jesus probably wasn't there, right? They started running out of wine. I bet everybody looked at James. Hey, man, your brother was here last time. We ran out of wine, huh? You just going to stand there with your sandals on? You're not going to make no wine? Nothing. Just... And you know how little brothers are. I'm sure everywhere Jesus went, James followed him. That's what little brothers do. If Jesus went there, so did James. I bet one time, James almost drowned.
No matter who you are, you've been promised joy. And you know, if you think about it, we can get caught up in those pressures of, well, why are you looking at me? Instead of thinking, I am the brother of Jesus the Christ. I am the child of God who says in the midst of this storm, yeah, there are trials. So what? Do you have any idea where I'm going to spend the next billion years? Think about that. No matter what. But I want you to understand, too, God's word speaks directly to us when we're in trials. Listen, 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul says, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. In, not in spite of, not after, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Even in the trials, good stuff is going on. I can have joy in the midst of that. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, in spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all believers. It may be that your storm and your severe suffering is God's way of gifting you the privilege and the opportunity to stand in the midst of the storm, that you, my friends, could be his model to other believers. What a privilege. It's not the way we're wired to look at difficult times. But God's ways are not our ways. Amen. Amen. Luke 6:23 says, rejoice and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and jump for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. No matter what's down here in the trench, it doesn't matter. Your reward is secure. Now, I have to say this to you, that not everybody who hears these truths embrace them the same way. Jesus shared a parable. It's known as the parable of the soils, or the parable of the seed. I want to share it with you. It's shared visually. And I want you to understand that in here, there is a description of those to whom God's truth and love is shared. But if, unfortunately, they are like the rocks upon which the seed falls, they may receive it with great joy, but their joy may be premature if they do not let roots come down in, if they're not the good soil in which the truth and love truly rests and germinates. Take a look at the parable, and we'll talk about it in just a second.
While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable.
A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown.
When he said this, he called out,
whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.
His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said,
The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
Okay, chances are, many of us have heard that many times. Where does it fit? We're warned here that those who hear God's truth and love, who may get out the pom-poms and get real excited, yeah, great. If it's just a surface saturation, if roots do not come down, and the roots are dependent upon the quality of the soil, translated, where's your heart? You see, some people may ask me sometimes, why do you get so intense about these issues of black and white? Why do you push the envelope beyond where people are comfortable? Because I care about the quality of the soil that is your heart. And because there are way too many people walking through this life who feel a false sense of security, who are telling the world and themselves, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm good to go, who are going to be shocked on Judgment Day. I share with you many times, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. There will be many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, did I not? And give out their resume. And he will say, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Those are the folks who are jumping with exuberant joy, minus the root system that says the quality of the soil is good. What does that look like? In large part, joy. Do you find your greatest satisfaction in your relationship with Christ? Or is he just another gumball in the gumball machine? Is he just in that big old blur? If he is, you're not there. It comes down to him being the treasure of your life. Listen to what he says in Matthew 13, 44. This is Jesus speaking now, talking about the Christian life and your relationship with Jesus, bringing priceless joy in your life. If it doesn't, then check the soil. I don't say that wagging my finger. I say that as one who's standing on the side, doing anything and everything I can to help pull you up. But it's a personal decision. It's a personal evaluation that only you and the Lord will know. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven, another way of talking about your relationship with Christ, is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Is he the absolute core of your joy? Is he worth everything you have? Not to get what he can give, but him. When you think of Jesus, is that not the most beautiful portrait that you can imagine? Your relationship with him, is that not the most prized possession that you have? If it is, with that relationship will come unshakable joy. Amen. Unshakable joy. If we walk around like ones that have been baptized in lemon juice, if we can't see past the circumstance of the here and now, to who we are in Christ, a billion years in heaven, and we're just getting started. The privilege of being the voice, the hands, the feet, the fingertips of the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, if that doesn't put a bounce in your step that's bigger than whatever is in the trench before you, check the soil. Check the soil. Listen to what he tells us. Now, I'm just going to give you some of these, walking right through them like we did last week. Faith brings joy. Your faith will bring the joy. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. If you have faith, you have an inexpressible, glorious joy in you. Not faith in a religion, but a personal relationship, a faith-based, grace-empowered relationship with Christ. Luke 24:52 says you can have joy in knowing the truth. When the disciples watched Jesus ascend into heaven, said when he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. When you know he is the King of Kings, when you know that he's up in heaven and that he's preparing a place for you, when you know that you know that you know who Jesus is and who you are in him, you have unshakable joy. There's joy in every biblical Christian. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's in you. You know what? My children all have blue eyes. They might like green eyes, brown eyes. It doesn't matter. Their blue eyes are in them. They've been put there by God, and it doesn't matter. And if you put contacts in to change them, it just looks like that on the surface. There are things that are in you, in your DNA, because of who you are. My children carry some crosses because they're mine. We as God's children have in us, in our spiritual DNA, joy that we forget about sometimes. We put contacts over. But if we're truly a child of God, there is joy in us that no one and nothing should be able to take away. Pastors know joy. I can tell you this, 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This is John speaking to those that he was a spiritual father for, the shepherd, and he would see others that were coming to Christ and were walking the talk and living the joy. Not just those who were faithfully obedient, but faithfully obedient with joy. He says, that's a part of the truth, and it gives me great joy when I see you. I want you to know, as your shepherd, as your servant leader, some of the things that put the greatest step in my life, the greatest bounce in my step, is watching you stand in the midst of the storms with a joy that the devil can't take away. Oh, what a blessing. There's joy in encouraging Christian relationships. I want to tell you, if you don't know Sandy Baxter, and if you don't know Charlie Beckman, I want to encourage you to get to know this brother and sister. I have never in my life before seen the true gift of encouragement, and I have found this in both of them. If you've not been around somebody who, just being in their presence, because of the way they love the Lord and how they love you, have this encouraging way of lifting you up, please, please, please spend some time with them. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. We have joy to give one another as a saint to other saints, that we're to come alongside in the storm. And through osmosis, there should be enough joy in us to spill over to others. Some of us have got double blessings. Sandy and Charlie, I think, are those people. They have that true spiritual gift of encouragement. Know that that's here. That's the design of God. You say, well, not everybody's like Charlie and Sandy. Some of my brothers and sisters actually kind of make it tough for me to have my joy. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Take a listen to Michael. I think he's got a real cool perspective on what happens when, well, you see. Let him explain.
Friends, where you got some Christian friends who are cool, right? You can hang around with them. You have friends who may not be Christian yet. But then you got Christian friends, right, who are, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to put it out there. You ever know somebody that was oversaved? Like, you can't even have a regular conversation with them. You just try to be like, man, it's a hot one. It's pretty hot. Huh, I'm thirsty. You thirsty? Thirsty for the Lord. Okay, cool. Hey, I lost my keys. Could you help me find my keys? Seek first the kingdom of God. It's like, I just lost my keys. Man, I don't know. You need the keys to the kingdom. I didn't drive a kingdom today. I just drove a Toyota. And I know as soon as I said oversaved, some of y'all already had somebody in mind. But if you didn't, they probably had you in mind. You might be oversaved and you don't even know it. I'm going to help you out. This is how you can know if you're oversaved. If you're at the restaurant and you order a fruit salad, you start to pray over it. But your prayer lasts so long, by the time you eat, it's trail mix. You oversaved. If your friend buys you a vacuum cleaner and you rebuke it because it's a dirt devil...
All right, I think we can all relate. I hope we relate by thinking of somebody and not having that vague spot where, uh-oh, maybe it's me. But I want you to know that there's some validity to that. We've talked about it here sometimes about not being a bullhorn person. But let me show you what God's Word says about those places where you look at somebody and you might say, where's that joy coming from? Listen to what God's Word says. Joy in the process of being rejected. Acts 13:52. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They had just been rejected to the point where they were forced basically to leave. And yet they still had joy because they did what they knew God had called them to do. Even in the midst of rejection, there's joy in walking and winning with Jesus. Listen to Luke 10:17. The 72 disciples returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. There's just something about the joy that comes from knowing you're walking with and winning with the King. Heavenly joy over those that are saved. And I just encourage you, if you're one that has the heartbeat of the bridge, you know that we are here to bring God's truth and love to a world that desperately needs Him. Listen to what Luke 15:7-10 say. There will be more joy in heaven, over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. All of heaven rejoices and throws this great joyous party every time one person changes their eternal address from hell to heaven. If you're God's instrument in that process, if He works through you to bring somebody to Himself, that means that you have a huge part to play in that party in heaven. Amen? Amen. Well, let me tell you this. We're going to start to come down here, and I'm going to finish very differently than we've ever finished here before. Let me just say this to you. We can and we should have great fun and live in the midst of this joy as we're walking the talk of being Christ's ambassadors. But at the same time, we have to recognize that there is a point at which we have to get serious about joy. You hear me? We have to get serious about joy. And I think that is seen when Charlie shared it from the stage. When you understand who Jesus is and the cost of this joy and the role of this joy and this command to have this joy. Listen to what Hebrews 12:2 says. This is Christ's inspirational joy for you and for me. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. For the joy set before Him, because He knew He would open up the door of eternal grace to you and to me, it gave Him enough joy that He would go and endure the cross. I want to ask you something. Who would you endure the cross for? Who would you right now today, if the word came out that right after church, we need somebody who's going to go and endure the cross, be whipped and beaten to within inches of their lives, then brought to a cross, pinned up on the cross, speared in the side, die for these people? Who amongst us would be willing? Who amongst us would be able to say, now if I do that, they don't get guaranteed eternal life. They just get the option for eternal life. Now you and I both know that we would go out looking in our world and we'd say, there are a lot of dumb people out there. There are a lot of people who, even with this fact, they're just sinful, dumb people. We're sheep. There's a reason why we're called sheep in the Bible. And we would say, even if I did that, you know what? The vast majority of people, they wouldn't come. It would mean that that would happen. My whole world would end painfully. And the vast majority would waste it. Not only won't I go it, I'm for sure not going to go with any joy in my heart. That's you and me. That's who we are. That's truth. But Jesus, for the joy set before him, which is to say that I am going to give grace as an opportunity, that gives me enough joy, says Jesus, that I will go to the cross. I will take all of that because the joy that I get from it is worth it. You see, if you don't see that Jesus, if you don't see that portrait of Jesus, you're not going to value him at all. You may like him. You might want him as a rubber stamp to put on your stuff to say, oh yeah, I'm Christian. And when we get to the end of life, I'm looking for that rubber stamp to get me into heaven. But you don't have joy down here because you don't understand who he is. You don't understand what he's done. You don't know him in that way. Listen to how Jesus ties his joy and his mission as a sacrificial savior, how they come together. John 15:9-11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made complete. That's why he came. John 16:21-22. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. If you're rejoicing while the world is rejoicing, if there is not a contrast, check the soil. Jesus says, not me, not some wacko pastor. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. Amen. If you're living for here and now, you are making a horrific trade. If you think that to walk this talk is too tough, I shudder to think of what awaits you on the other side of eternity. Please, please, please hear Christ crying out. See who he is. See the beauty of the cross. I've shared with you each week a prayer that, in my opinion, has been one of the Bible's best each week. Here's this week's, and it is again Jesus. Now we're listening to Jesus pray. John 17:9-13. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. That's Jesus. That's God the Son praying to God the Father on our behalf if we are children of God. Wow. So that we would have his joy. I'm going to show you something and I'm going to close unlike we've ever done before. Last week, I ruffled a lot of feathers by bringing to you truth and love that didn't taste very good. I was blessed. Somebody on the worship team said to me, if ever it doesn't taste good, I know I have a taste bud problem, because all we get here is the truth and love. That really blessed me. I told you last week, as we looked at the issue of obedience, and it's multifacets, and in this case, the obedience to live with joy, that it comes at great cost sometimes if we disobey. We listened to Mr. Piper talk about us needing steel, the loving aspect of steel to stand in our spine, that we could hold and stand firm in Christ. Well, I want you to know that there are times where you're going to need this to have joy. You're going to need steel to have joy. And you're going to have to be obedient. And you're going to have to do it even when you don't feel like doing it. Joy sometimes is like love. It's not a feeling. It's a reality that you choose. You choose joy. You choose to celebrate who you are in Christ. Sometimes that happens in the most unlikely circumstances, in the most unbelievable times, and in the most unbelievable places. I told you last week that part of what had convicted me about obedience was that I was on my way after we had spent our time together to shock trauma, because there was somebody who either had jumped with premature joy or had authentic joy but lost a battle because they took their eye off of the Lord. Because when it came down to the fork in the road of choosing obedience or not, that they lost a battle. I'm going to show you something now that speaks to the validity of last week's message on obedience, that speaks to the validity of this week's message about joy being unshakable and a gift from God, and joy that has the ability to overflow and touch other lives no matter what, no matter when, as we live in joy, knowing who we are in Christ. I want you to meet Shane and see his new joy.
My name is Shane Sweeney, and I'm sure a couple of you recognize me. I shot myself with a gun in the mouth. And I survived. I got flu in the shock trauma. And the first time I woke up since I shot myself was on the helicopter. And I opened my eyes, and the first thing I saw was, I'm alive. I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. No better feeling than that. Knowing that he gave me a second chance, probably just to relive some stuff. I could have been gone. I could have impacted my son's whole life, my family's whole life. But he had a plan for me. He had a plan for me. I woke up again after they sedated me. And I had blown everything apart in my jaw, so they had to take me into surgery 3 days after I shot myself. And I heard a girl, and I didn't have a roommate in the room, but it was a girl coming. I could hear a voice from the other side of the curtain, because it was a double room. And she come over, and it was my sitter. Of course, the sitter's got to sit with you after you've tried to commit suicide. So she comes in, and she's crying, and I could hear some of the stuff that she was talking about, and it sounded too familiar. I said, but what's wrong? And she said, my life is terrible. And I said, why? And she said, because husband left me. And I feel like everything is crumbled. Pretty much she was going through the same thing. That I went through. And I'm still going through. She sat there and told me that she's thought of hurting herself. Driving off the road, you know, into some trees or jumping off the bridge. I said, it's not worth it. I said, I tried. I tried. And God had a better plan for me. I said, if you get Jesus in your life, you will have a much better life and you'll be able to cope with everything. It doesn't even matter what comes to you. I said, Jesus will block all of it and pull you right through. So we sat there and talked for a while and everything, and I said, you know what? I said, I see that this has happened for a reason. I said, because if I took this bullet just so I could be in this bed in this time to help you for Jesus, I said, then it was all worth it. Hopefully the joy that's in me that he brings out of me, hopefully that'll help some people. My mom asked me what I'm going to do when I get out. I said, Mom, I'm going to go to church. And you should come. She told me in the hospital that there was something there that day with us that helped save my life. And I keep telling her it's Jesus. I don't know if she believes me, but I know what it was. It's the only thing that could have brought me through this. The joy that has came over me in this kind of situation. I like sharing it with everybody that I can. Because I want everybody else to have that void filled in their life. Only one person can fill that void in your life and give you so much joy and turn a negative into a positive. And one person is Jesus. There is no other. I'm okay and I'll be back to church soon. So thank everybody.
Amen. You're not supposed to find joy there. Joy is not supposed to be at work there. But where Christ is alive and where the relationship, albeit a little late, but shows up and is real, joy is there. I want to play a video for you. And it's walking through different clips lived out through the Gospel of John. And I want you to ask yourself as you sit here today, or as you watch here today, do I know the love that Jesus Christ gives to me, that he paid for on the cross? Do I know it personally? Is it real in my life to where I have an unshakable joy because who Jesus is? What he did on the cross is absolutely beautiful. I ask you, can you have a joy like Shane's? Can you have a joy like the sisters of Lazarus who watched their dead brother walk out of the tomb in the power of Jesus' name? Can you have the joy of Lazarus? Do you recognize, as I do, that I was dead in my sins? And through the power of Jesus Christ, the blood sacrifice for me, that he brought me just like Lazarus. It's not a tomb, but believe me, this was a dead tomb. Can you say that you know, that you know, that you know that Jesus Christ has brought you back from the dead? And like Lazarus, you walk with a joy that is unshakable. Can you say like Thomas, who doubted, now I believe. And nothing will ever cause doubt in me again. This is the Who singing "Love Reign Over Me" to the context of Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, if you will love Him and walk in joy.
Lazarus is dead.
For your sake, I am glad that I am alive,
so that you will believe. Let us go to him.
Where have you buried him?
Come and see, Lord.
ask you now. John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete. Are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able to look at Jesus, the full, true Jesus, and choose to find your joy in him? If you will, the answer to your prayers are forthcoming. The joy that you seek is already in you and can be unleashed. I close us today unlike we've ever done before. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Pray with me now, please. Lord, be with us now as a people who seek and want and are willing to walk in your joy. Lord Jesus, I come on behalf of this people and I say thank you for showering us with your love. Such an incredible price to pay for such a little thing. We are nothing, and you are everything, and yet you surrendered all that we could have you. Lord, be with us now as we celebrate and we walk with joy every minute of every day as children of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Friends, I normally would invite you down now to come and be with us and pray. I'm not doing that. Today is a day where we realize who we are in Christ. And if this is who you are, then I encourage you to walk with joy. And if you are not in that place, then I encourage you to now sing this prayer with us. Friends, if you call the bridge home, you're going to know this. I close us now. When this song is done, you're released. We'll be here. There'll be some time. If you want to pray, you can. But this is how we close today. As joyful children of God. Why? Because we're not walking with the joy and the faith of Shane before the bullet. We're not walking with the faith and the joy of Lazarus before the tomb. And we're not walking with the faith and the joy of Thomas before Christ showed up. We are people who know. We are people who have been given the guarantee of this relationship with Christ that brings with it an unshakable joy because we choose to walk with a God who reigns here. Would you please pray with me in song as we close? Matthew, let us have it. Amen and amen. This is our prayer. If it's not yours, make it, I pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand and pray with me in song?
Here, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. You're not welcome here. So go. You to leave in Jesus' name. Envy and jealousy, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. anxiety, addiction, infirmity. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Cause I can't read.
Amen and amen. You go now and walk with the King. Be a blessing and keep the joy of the Lord as your strength. And nothing, nothing can hold you down. Amen and amen. You go now and walk with the King, with the joy of the Lord. Amen and amen.